started a joke that started the whole world laughing. The president getting a rousing reception at the United Nations this week. While at home, rumours swirl around Rod Rosenstein and allegations pile up on Brett Kavanaugh. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Each week, he and I have a chat about the latest news and politics from the US, sea to shining sea. Join us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Donald Trump appeared before the UN this week and seemed surprised at the reaction he got when he claimed his administration had accomplished more in 2 years than any before him. First thoughts?
Well, let's not go into the laughter that brought up. But the silliness of the claim first is outrageous. And then to be laughed off the stage like some two-bit comic. This is the United States of America. No American president has ever been ridiculed anywhere for any reason. Now, this goes to something we talked about going back almost 2 years ago. Who is running the United States? It's obvious this man, who has a title, is not. Because if he were, there'd be some respect for him. But remember, every one of these countries has diplomats stationed in Washington. Every one of them have people they can talk to in the United States who are in significant positions. So their laughter is that they know the emperor has no clothes. And the Times op-ed was totally accurate. This man is not in charge of the United States.
Last time Trump was in front of the UN like this, he had a lot to say about the risk of North Korea as a nuclear power. This year, praised the talks his administration has had with Kim Jong-un and such, and instead called for other nations to join him in boycotting Iran. Now, while I don't think the US should be sleepwalking in either situation here, Ed, Trump seems to be staying on the war footing.
Well, look, he has a playbook. This playbook worked with the Rocket Man. And so he wants to use the same playbook with Iran. Now, the chances are he'll come up with exactly the same treaty that's there, but he can call it the Trump Treaty. What is he trying to prevent in Iran? Now, Iran does some pretty nasty stuff that we know that some of the rebels and some of the most grievous terrorists hide out in Iranian territory. And Iran provides support for some of these groups. Now, Iran does this for two reasons. One of them is they need some of these people to be on their side. Because remember, the northern part of Iran was occupied entirely by those rebels, the ISIS rebels. So the way to fight fire is with fire. The second reason is that they feel that if they don't have a freestanding army that can fight on all fronts, they're in deep trouble. And they have to be a menace in their area rather than a pushover. That does not excuse what they're doing, but it helps you understand it. They are not nice, friendly people. But neither is Saudi Arabia. Neither is Iraq. Neither is Turkey. So these are troubling waters, and Mr. Trump, who's narrow-minded, very plain, doesn't see all the intricacies.
A lot has been made of Trump's America First rhetoric in front of the UN. One I thought was interesting was him saying they would be assessing foreign aid and only giving to friendlier countries. Foreign aid, you know, it's fair to the point that foreign aid's always been pretty closely linked with America's foreign policy goals. Some have taken this to mean that Trump will only want to give some cash to those countries that are willing to praise him personally.
Suck up. Well, this is probably the most venal, low words that could come from any president. A dictator wouldn't say things like that because it only makes him look small. It doesn't make him look big. It makes him look very small. Furthermore, countries like the people in the United States have a right to speak up. and you don't cut off their welfare check, well, Trump would. But the whole notion that a nation has to kowtow to the United States to get its money is ridiculous. Moreover, if he goes down that path, some of the most ridiculous countries that have dictators, etc., will line up and say whatever they have to get American aid. American aid is supposed to be building nations, helping them defend themselves, and internally develop democracies. If the United States is not giving aid for that purpose, the United States should stop.
And a common enemy for Trump, China. He's accused them at a meeting of the UN Security Council of interfering in the 2018 midterm elections. If I was being cynical, Ed, I would say he's probably setting up excuses for a very much anticipated loss.
Well, he may or may not be. But why not? If China is messing with the 2018, let's go back to 2016. Somebody was messing with that election. So he's admitting elections can be messed with. He's trying to throw people off the scent. He always comes up with something to throw people off the scent. And clearly we're going to talk about Rosenstein. This is an attempt to throw people off the scent. He is an afternoon television host, and he tries to get ratings. And the rating now is on the back of the Chinese. The thing he started to do, and that is impose the tariffs, and which he still plans to do, the American people are outraged because they're going to be paying more for their goods. The Chinese could care less. They don't make those goods in America anymore. So when you buy a pair of socks or a new tie or a new television set, you're going to pay more for it. And the American people are not stupid. So that's backfiring. So now he has to accuse the Chinese of something. And they did find today a Chinese person, they're alleging, was spying for the Chinese government in the United States. Ta-da! Should we scour China for American spies?
You mentioned the magic word there, Rosenstein. At home, rumors have been swirling around the Deputy Attorney General, much as they've swirled around Attorney General Jeff Sessions as well, that his days at the Justice Department are limited. Supposedly, Rosenstein floated the idea of wearing a wire to record meetings with Donald Trump and invoking the 25th Amendment to see the president out of office. Thoughts?
Weren't those my ideas? How many people had those ideas during that crazy period? Remember, I was talking about the 25th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody ought to capture what's really been said, because after the Comey business, Comey said, if you have contemporaneous recordings, please play them. Well, maybe this was, hey, if we're talking with this guy, we better record him because he might say anything afterward. In some ways, it was a sensible discussion. Maybe this man is not fit to be president of the United States. But that discussion doesn't mean that you don't carry out the orders you should do in your office. Again, this is a lose-lose for him. If Rosenstein goes, the investigation continues. And now he has a situation where gobs of American people are against him because he's gone after the wrong target. He wants to get to Mueller. And by the time he gets to Mueller at this point, what are we going to have? All these convictions that I've already had, plus more that have come from Cohen and Manafort, and the possibility of him going down as well for obstruction of justice. So he's making the waters muddier and muddier. His staff is advising him not to do this, and particularly don't do it before the midterms. So you can't disconnect this Supreme Court justice from Rosenstein. This is all, how's it going to play with the base? But the base is out of sorts with the electorate. So what does he do at this critical juncture? What has Mueller done? Mueller's attacked his sources of money, including his foundation, and all the tracks in. Mueller's also got a good chance of arresting almost all of Trump's family for various crimes, including peddling influence. Now, even his wife may be guilty there. Then we have a situation where he is out politically. If the Democrats take the House and the Senate, Mueller's job's finished. He does not have to issue a report because the Democrats will be investigating every week. And if the Democrats get the Senate, it'll be once a month investigations of the president. So Mueller has already created such a cloud around the president and the presidency, it's over.
You also mentioned there the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh, ongoing this week. One point I heard somebody say this week, that in the wake of the Me Too movement, there's never just one accuser, one allegation of misconduct. And it's certainly been the case here. Stormy Daniels lawyer Michael Avenatti, now representing a third woman to come forward. Will Kavanaugh cling in there?
I had a dream two nights ago that Kavanaugh would throw in the towel. Let me tell you why. And just put yourself in this situation when you've got young children, that your whole family is at risk here. Your whole reputation you built over a long time is at risk. If you push through, it doesn't clear the cloud. The smart thing is drop out saying, I'm doing this in the interest of the court. I am as innocent as Mary, the mother of Jesus. But in the same way she made sacrifices, I'm willing to make a sacrifice for the court. There may be a future time in which I can come back. But now the circumstances are such that the court is in jeopardy. I cannot put myself and my family ahead of the court. Doing that, he would go out as an angel. He'd also preserve the Republicans' chances in the election. Now let's go through another scenario. He doesn't do that. And he makes a claim that he's a virgin. He makes a claim that he didn't drink. He says he never drank below the drinking age. The drinking age in Maryland at the time he was in high school was 21. It wasn't 18. He says he drank a little when he was beyond 18. Thinking that no one would look at the year in which the law was changed. It was changed while he was in high school. So he's caught in that lie. Then they bring up two or three other lies he's been caught up in. And surely the biggest lie of all is I was a virgin until my mid-20s or 30s. If that's true, I don't want you on the Supreme Court. If you never did anything like a human being, then how could you possibly judge me? You don't know what justice is. We don't want God on the Supreme Court. We want a good, honest human being. Could Frankfurter great justice? Could, my God, Douglas had five wives. No telling what he was doing in between. He was a great jurist. I would have hidden behind that cloth, not the cloth of the monk. It just doesn't seem reasonable. Now he's done this, and he shut his wife up before she could say anything. Now that he's done this, he doesn't seem real. And the people who are for him are only talking about the Democrats and not about him. In other words, they're saying, geez, we don't want to go near this candidate. We just want to besmirch the Democrats enough so that the people will think that they're persecuting the candidate. But the candidate is persecuting himself. Now, I have a question for you. What were you doing when you were 17?
17 years old. It's a few years in the rearview mirror now, and yeah, really, it'd be hard to wrap my head around what I was doing that year.
Yeah, and the best thing to say is exactly what you said, isn't it?
Financial news this week. The U.S. deficit to hit nearly $1 trillion next year, the highest level since 2012, meaning the states will soon be paying more in interest for national debt than they spend on military, Medicare, I would imagine a great deal of other things. Republicans are still adding to the debt rather than doing anything to reduce it, Ed.
Well, is the printing press still working?
I'd print more money.
Yeah, well, what do they call it? Structural easing. This is what's going to happen with that debt. That debt is going to be paid off by changing interest rates. Interest rates are going up. The United States prints a little bit more money to cover that. They pay down their debt. I mean, if you can do this quantitative easing BS, you pay down your debt. The other thing that is happening is the U.S. debt is going up for a very simple reason. The country is aging. That means entitlements that they cannot turn off. We're facing the same problem in Australia. We have given people entitlements we cannot turn off, the pension, etc., free health care, and the like. These things won't go away, but what can go away is the military. Now, the military's biggest component is humans. It's not guns or rifles or military bases, it's humans. So I would anticipate, no matter who's president in 2 years, there probably won't be very many troops in Korea. The number of troops in Europe will be drastically reduced. Strike forces will replace regular military forces and the like. And it doesn't matter who the president is. It really doesn't matter. The only place you can really cut the U.S. budget is the military.
Follow-up on Hurricane Florence as well this week. South Carolina reportedly still struggling with floodwaters and rescue efforts. Seems like the residents have been caught a little bit by surprise.
Well, they were caught by surprise, and some of the things we talked about last week are really germane here. Some people not able to get out because their citizenship might be in question. Other people not able to get out because they were disabled and other things that would prevent them from doing this. But I want to go back to what I said earlier. North and South Carolina have very good evacuation programs where they use trains and other things. So when people get out there on their own, it's very difficult. Now, the strategy, and I've read a very good article from a colleague who's in the disaster business who says the strategy now is building up. That is, people are going to move away from the coast. This is about the fifth time this has happened. And the U.S. laws have changed about people getting flood insurance. So flood insurance is now organized so the more flood you have, the higher the payments. So that means a lot of people didn't have the insurance. It was not risk-adjusted insurance. They won't be able to rebuild. So there may be a silver lining here that people might prepare for something that Trump doesn't believe in, climate change.
And just finally, Ed, midterms. Polls are down. Trust in Trump is way down. But even amongst his unshakable base, some analysts think that Trump's talk of a red wave, this silent majority making themselves known in a red wave as opposed to the blue wave, might keep Republicans away from the voting booths, figuring the job is done. Is Trump shooting himself in the foot?
Well, he's shooting himself in every part of the anatomy you can imagine. But in this one, I think his people are pretty much behind him, and they will vote Republican for whoever the Republican is. But voting Republican doesn't mean you're going to get a Trump Republican anymore. The candidate in Arizona who's running doesn't sound like a Trump Republican. The candidate in Utah doesn't sound like a Trump Republican. The candidate in Florida doesn't sound like a Trump Republican. So there are a lot of people who are running as Republicans, but they're not running as Trump Republicans, even in Trump territory. As a matter of fact, there are more Democrats who are to the right who have chances in Trump territory than Republicans. So I see what you might call a choppy wave. it could come in 50-50 in the Senate. The Democrats could be up as many as 15 or 35. If they're up 35, oh my God, our shows will be rich in hearings and mudslinging and so forth coming from the demos. But the good money is saying that if these hearings don't come out the right way, the Democrats are 51. 49 Republicans. But that's not counting Murkowski from Alaska. That's not counting Collins. That's not counting the Arizona Republican who's going to act like a Democrat. That's not counting Scott. So I think no matter how this election comes out, Trump loses.
US Event is produced in the studios of 2SER 107.3 in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date. And show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.